Immunize Wisely. I'm your host, Ingrid Castle, and my websites are vaclib.org. That's because I'm the director of Vaccination Liberation, so short for Vaccination Liberation is VACLIB.org. And also vaccinetruth.com is an easy way to remember to get there, and where we have, you know, a brief education to wake people up. That's vaccinetruth.com. And we also, I also have another website, humbleweed.net, where I help people understand how their bodies work and, you know, how to resolve if they are sick or chronically ill, I have tools that I sell for them to recover. And I also have a blog where I help people recover from cancer, because I do sell SEACT and elemental sulfur and stuff. So if you want to support this work, I encourage you to check out our websites. And today is August 17th. I do like to start out the show and just talk a little bit about some recent news. The summer edition of Wise Traditions, that's the journal of the Weston A. Price Foundation, they have several excellent articles. It's posted free online. I always encourage people to support them. They're doing a fundraiser. It's only $40 a year, and you get four excellent journals. You also get all kinds of amazing literature. And if you want to really understand how important nutrition is, you should be a subscriber and a supporter of the Weston A. Price Foundation. But in this last issue that's now posted at westonaprice.org, they have an excellent article covering the germ theory versus the terrain theory of disease. And I'm very, very impressed. So you can access that now free online and share that around. Basically the lady who wrote the article addresses how did we take a wrong fork in the road, which my mother, who's the founder of Vaccination Liberation, she actually said the same thing, you know, in her books, that we actually took the wrong turn with embracing the germ theory of disease that lends to commercialization and keeping people chronically ill. And it's actually not the truth of how things work. So anyway, with that said and done, I want people to just be able to, if you're new to the show, to be able to access that. And we have a chat room. So I'm going to post some of these links in the chat room. It's Immunize Wisely. Now, Wisely is stylized with a W-I-Z-E-L-Y. That's the way I want it to be, but RBN's never changed it. They apparently put the title through spell check, and I've asked them to change it, but they haven't. So Mer Bailey, thank you, Mer, you got it right. So it's immunizewisely.chatandgo. Thank you for that. So it's chatandgo.com, and Mer corrected me last week on that it says chat tango, it's chatandgo.com. So if you just put in the title immunizewisely.chatandgo.com, as the show progresses, or at least during commercial breaks, I will go ahead and type in links to my guest's website and specifics that we may be talking about. And I did want to raise some attention to the fact that I think some people that pay attention to mainstream media, they saw that Robert F. Kennedy Jr. a few months ago, I think it was back in May, three of its relatives that are very steeped in the pharmaceutical industry and vaccines issue in particular, basically apologized for their Robert F. Kennedy's work, you know, being totally misguided, and that, you know, his brain's just not working right, and, you know, it ended up on Politico. And so Robert F. Kennedy Jr., who has Children's Health Defense, he did a very eloquent rebuttal, but of course it was censored, and we're dealing with a lot of censorship on this issue. So I just wanted to mention that it came out, I think it was, yesterday on the 16th on Children's Health Defense, and then Vaccine Impact News republished it today. And it's a really excellent rebuttal with a lot of hot links in it. So it would be great if you shared it widely, because the censorship going on is pretty incredible. And I know everyone in this network is aware of the level of censorship going on all levels. So it's not just the vaccine issue. It's any truth that comes up against these corporate interests. So without further ado, I do have a great guest. He came on the scene by just doing the math on the MMR vaccine, you know, just in measles itself, you know, just like doing the basic math of risk versus benefits. And when he started crunching the numbers, it was like, wow, this guy's great. You know, he's one of us. And he was soon invited to be on Del Bigtree's internet talk show, The High Wire. And so now he's part of a network that I'm on, of, you know, kind of a who's who in the movement. But he's just fabulous. I mean, you know, all of us, you have to understand, all of us are doing this as a sidebar. It's not like we're making money on this, and we're just wanting to get the information out. And anyway, he's doing the same thing, because he feels the more he researches, he feels passionate, just like my guest last week, Jeremy Hammond. You just, you know, when you realize how much propaganda is out there, and that, as Jeremy Hammond brought up, 51% of all adults don't think there's any safety or efficacy issues at all, that, you know, they believe everyone should be forced to have this pharmaceutical product, because it's if we don't start consuming every vaccine that comes down the pike, we're going to risk public health. And this, you know, propaganda is just drilled in us more intensely by the day by the mainstream media and even in colleges. So, and even in schools, in the school curriculum, you know, there's so many people that are brainwashed into this notion. And once you do the real research, you find out that's just not true. So anyhow, so who is my guest? His name is Luke Yamaguchi. He's a certified nutritionist, health educator, and wellness consultant dedicated to creating greater well-being in our world through education and empowerment. And I like that, empowerment. He is the founder of GutResolution.com. Gut Resolution. It's a great website, GutResolution.com, where he helps clients with gut-related health issues overcome their digestive challenges. Luke is the creator of The Dark Side of Vaccines, which is a free online course that critically examines vaccine safety and efficacy concerns. And he has appeared, as I said, on the internet talk show The High Wire to report on vaccines, nutrition, and other health-related topics. He has a vaccine-related blog, which is being censored by Google. And he actually was on Medium.com. That's where he was first posting, and that was all censored. He found or whatever, his own website, just to rescue all the research and articles that he had posted on Medium. And his website is darksidevaccines.com. So welcome to Immunize Wisely, Luke. It's a pleasure having you as a guest.
Thank you for having me on the show, Ingrid. It's great to be here.
Yeah, so, yeah, let's just go ahead, and I want to talk about how you even got interested in researching it, because I'm sure, you know, doing your business, you've come up with people that, you know, have issues related to vaccines, and then you saw the hype. But I want to hear from you exactly what got you into, you know, getting into this controversial issue and actually posting information.
Yes, in a way, I was born into it because my father was a chiropractor by training and a nutritionist in practice. And so thanks to him, I was never vaccinated as a child. And I've never gone on to get any vaccines as an adult. So I've never had a single vaccine in my whole life. And I also have three brothers. None of us were vaccinated as children. We all got the chicken pox. We all survived without complications. And then it was about a year ago, a little over a year ago, that I found myself asking this question: how can I help contribute, how can I help create greater health and well-being in our world? And the answer that came to me was to do research on vaccines. And so I spent the summer of 2018, pretty much 3 months solid, just trying to learn as much as I possibly could, delving into the research, reading peer-reviewed papers, and just, yeah, researching the topic for myself and really trying to get to the bottom of it and understand it for myself. And that kind of culminated in the creation of this online course that I created called The Dark Side of Vaccines, the less publicized story of vaccine safety and efficacy. And it's a free online course that anyone can enroll in online. It's on two different platforms. It's also on udemy.com, but they can find it on my darksidevaccines.com website. And in that course, I ask two questions primarily. And the first question I ask is, are vaccines safe? And then I later go on to ask the question, are vaccines effective? And maybe if it's okay, I can just give a couple examples of different things I talk about addressing both those questions. Is that okay?
Absolutely.
Yeah, so I start off with some talking about some historical vaccine safety concerns. So the question is, are vaccines safe? And have they always been safe? Like, has there ever been any issues or times in history when vaccines were found to be unsafe? And I was actually surprised to find out that there are a number of incidents where vaccines have caused harm and, you know, killed people. One of the first big instances is known as the Qatar incident. And both the incidents I'll talk about today have to do with the polio vaccine. And the Qatar incident was the Qatar laboratories manufactured a polio vaccine, but they didn't properly inactivate it. So it turns out they were giving people live polio vaccine. And this isn't a conspiracy theory. This is on the CDC's website. They openly admit to this. Except that the CDC says that over 250 people got polio from the polio vaccine. But if you look at the scientific literature, it says that actually 40,000 cases of polio came about as a result of this Qatar incident, and that resulted in 164 cases of paralysis and 10 deaths. So it actually killed five people who were vaccinated, and it even killed five more people who were unvaccinated because it was a live vaccine that could spread. So it was contagious. So it went from the vaccinated people to the unvaccinated people. And so that's one major incident where, yeah, it was, you know, a huge debacle. We don't really hear about that very much when we talk about the glory of the polio vaccine and how it saved humanity. And the other incident I talk about that's really big has to do with a monkey virus called simian virus 40. It's abbreviated as SV40, and it's a cancer-causing virus that contaminated an estimated 10 to 30% of polio vaccines in the United States between 1955 and 1963. And then it was later found out that an Eastern vaccine manufacturer also had SV40 in their polio vaccines. And so it really contaminated polio vaccines for about two decades. And these vaccines were given to tens of millions of people around the world. And so we inadvertently infected these people with a cancer-causing virus. And the CDC kind of just says, oh, you know, nothing to see here. We've done some epidemiological studies, population-based studies, where we don't, you know, we can't prove causation, so just don't worry about it. But I think that, you know, there's a saying that history doesn't repeat itself, but it certainly rhymes. And so if we aren't aware of these historical incidents, I think that we, you know, we're kind of at a disadvantage in really predicting what could happen in the future when it comes to our vaccine supply. And so I talk about those, and there's many other incidents of historical vaccine safety issues. You can find them on the CDC's own website. And then I ask the question, are vaccines effective? And is it okay if I give a few examples of vaccines?
Absolutely.
Yeah, so then I talk about that. And, you know, we say that vaccines are, quote, safe and effective, but are vaccines all equally effective? And one vaccine that I think really isn't very effective, and I don't think there's a huge controversy with this either, is the flu vaccine. The CDC admits that the flu vaccine has only been between 10 and 60% effective in any given year. It averages about 40% efficacy, and that's according to their own data on their website. And so, you know, if you have a vaccine that, you know, literally in some years was only 10% effective, can we still call that vaccine, quote-unquote, effective? And if so, at what point do we draw the line between a so-called effective vaccine and an ineffective vaccine? Or do we just say that any amount of efficacy still qualifies as a vaccine being effective because it's better than nothing? And, you know, we could draw an analogy here, like if I develop some birth control and my birth control was, say, 40% effective, and I say, hey, this birth control is great, safe and effective, you know, would you really be convinced by something that's 40% effective? I don't know. Maybe not, right?
Right.
And
well, exactly. I mean, if the idea, let me just insert, if the idea is to prevent the disease, what we found out just by analyzing the package insert, and that's on our website, I'll send it to you, Luke, because you may be interested in that, but we did a thorough analysis and actually have a handout, and it's one of the presentations my webmaster, Dewey Rostuffel, and I have done. And when you look at the trials that they did, all the side effects that aren't the flu certainly are ILIs. They're illness, you know, influenza-like illnesses. So, you know, and then we have certainly, you know, the pesticides, all these things. So what is the flu? You know, for them, it has to be positive for the viral component. So, you know, anything that mimics that and they can't detect the viral component, that's what they're saying is effective. So you can have all the symptoms of the flu, but if they you know, do a lab analysis and you're not showing up with a viral component of the vaccine, it worked. You know, that's a whole other rabbit hole. I'm just saying,
right?
And it's pretty bizarre.
Talk about as well. And I don't want to get too sidetracked, but I also discuss a randomized clinical trial that showed that people who received a certain flu vaccine were actually at increased risk for other respiratory infectious diseases,
yes,
that weren't influenza.
Exactly.
But just to go back to what I was trying to say, the other two vaccines I talk about in regards to their efficacy was the mumps vaccine. And if you look at some of the peer-reviewed literature, like I know one paper that's been published that says that a single dose of the mumps component of the MMR vaccine is only 64% effective, and two doses are 88% effective. But the interesting thing is, if you go to Merck's website, they state that the single dose of the mumps component of the MMR is 96% effective. So we have this huge 32% difference between what we find in the scientific literature and what we find on Merck's website. And I talk about this, I recently gave a presentation where I talk more about that. And another example I give of kind of questioning the efficacy of different vaccines is the acellular pertussis vaccine. We know from studies that children who have received the DTaP as infants, if they receive the Tdap vaccine as adolescents, it only has about 72% efficacy during the first year, and that goes down to basically almost no evidence of protection after just 3 years. And even the CDC admits that public health, and this is like a quote straight from their website, public health experts cannot rely on herd immunity to protect people from pertussis, end quote. And the reason for that is because, one, vaccine protection decreases over time, right? So like less than 3 years of protection from the acellular pertussis vaccine in adolescents. And two, the acellular pertussis vaccine, it may not prevent colonization of the bacteria. And so you could actually be an asymptomatic carrier of the pertussis bacteria and then be contagious and spreading it to other people without even knowing it, without even having any symptoms. So in that sense, it's like almost more dangerous, right, than being unvaccinated, because at least if you're unvaccinated, you get pertussis. You're going to have crazy coughing. You're going to know that something's wrong. You're not going to go and, you know, get next to your friend's newborn baby and cough all over them. You're going to stay away from that baby because you don't want to give them whatever it is that you have. But if you've been vaccinated for acellular pertussis, you may do that without even knowing that you're carrying this bacteria around you. So those are some of the issues that I talk about in my course. I talk about other things as well, but that kind of gives people a taste of what they can find in that course, The Dark Side of Vaccines.
Okay, we are actually coming up on a commercial break really soon, so I do want to talk about how much time people would spend taking your course, as well as a couple other questions about it. You know, there's so much. I mean, you can spend, you know, a whole lifetime studying this issue. And I know you are doing the highlights, some of the salient points, you know, safety, efficacy, and are they, so looking at that, are they really necessary in the prevention of disease? So you certainly, I'm sure, have covered those bases, because at this point, you know, we have government mandated medicine, and I consider that as a, you know, libertarian, you know, that's just absolutely wrong. So here, well, we're coming up on a break. My guest is Luke Yamaguchi, and stay tuned because he has a lot to share with us.
People write us about their experience with Extendivite. Allow me to read you some from Amazon.com. This product is superb. I have been taking it for about a year now, and I can feel my cardiovascular system run like a Swiss watch. I definitely recommend this product for anyone that has high cholesterol, high blood pressure, and heart palpitations. A plus. It's potent, but it works. I have been waking up for the past 3 years with numb hands, and a week into using Extendivite, my numb hands seem to have cleared up. My circulation was off, and now it's back on track. So I'm happy. I feel so energized, and I have my husband on it now. My mother-in-law has cholesterol problems, so I bought her a bottle as well. Thank you so much. Love the product. Tell us your story. Get Extendivite today. Call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
As a listener of RBN, you're surely concerned about being informed and being ready for whatever may come. Please consider the following questionnaire as a soul-jarring wake-up call. If you answer no to more than two of these following questions, you probably aren't going to make it through any major disruption in our country. The questions were compiled by people that have been there. Are you really ready? Do you own your own firearm for the primary defense and protection of you and your loved ones? Have you ever been professionally trained to stand against life-threatening behavior? Have you ever practiced enough to fire 500 rounds during a 2 to 4 day time frame, day and night? Can you load, unload, fire, and clear a jam in total darkness? Have all the adults in your household been professionally trained? Are you, life and death, comfortable with your abilities with pistol, revolver, shotgun, and rifle? Are you aware that everything that you do to prepare for an emergency is a waste of time, money, and energy? If you haven't honed your abilities to their highest level to protect and keep what you have? Do you have the repair parts that will most likely be needed for each of your firearm, and do you have the ability to install those parts? Could you completely clean every firearm you own? Are you aware that your body won't go where your mind hasn't been? In other words, without proper training, followed by regular practice, you probably will not win a gunfight. Well, how did you measure up? Take the once-in-a-lifetime opportunity to start correcting your deficiencies by receiving your Commander Lifetime Membership with Front Sight Firearms Training Facility. A one-time donation to RBN for $500 will give you a Commander Lifetime Membership at Front Sight as a tremendously huge thank you bonus. See details on RBN's webpage to make it happen. The clock is ticking. You had better be ready before it happens.
Welcome back to Humanize Wisely. My name is Ingrid Kessel, and my guest is Luke Yamaguchi, and we're talking about the excellent course. It's free online, The Dark Side of Vaccines. So you could take this course for free, and it's based on all of his research that he spent hours, I mean, probably over 1,000 hours just researching this topic and distilling the most salient points to convince people that they aren't necessarily safe and effective. So I wanted to kind of launch into that, Lucas, how long of a time commitment that is in this busy world, and you know, how many people do you think have gone through it, that kind of thing.
Yeah, so I made the course understanding that people are crunched for time, and we do live in a society where, you know, we don't have a long attention span sometimes, it seems, especially with the younger generations. And so I made the course so that people could actually go through it in just a couple hours in terms of watching the videos. And then there's also further study links where people can go on and spend more time to do additional reading if they so chose. But basically, if they just wanted to kind of blitz through the course, they could go through it really in just a couple hours.
Wow. And then it's all referenced. So if they, like, don't trust some of the information that you're providing in a video, they have all those footnotes that go to, basically sources that, I mean, your sources are basically what they consider credible. Would you say that? I mean, you know.
I mean, it's very meticulously referenced and cited. Like, I went to great pains to, you know, I don't want people to just believe what I say. I don't want people to believe what anyone says, you know, the World Health Organization or the CDC or anyone. I want people to be able to look at the references and the citations, read them for themselves, and then come to their own conclusion. Because, you know, we're getting so many mixed messages. There's so much misinformation on all sides of this issue that people really need to be able to look at information for themselves and come to their own determination. A lot of times I'm actually showing screenshots of actual peer-reviewed publications, and I just highlight the points that I'm referencing. Sometimes I'm just reading it verbatim, or I'm showing screenshots of government agencies like the CDC and the FDA, and people can follow the link and see, is this what's really, you know, is this what the CDC website really does say or not? And so it's very easy to fact check everything in there. There was one thing that I got wrong on there that I'll correct right now, and I said that the Supreme Court ruled that vaccines are unavoidably unsafe. And that was actually a misunderstanding of my understanding of that lawsuit. It's true that from a legal standpoint, vaccines are considered unavoidably unsafe. And maybe we could talk more about this a little bit later, but I was incorrect in saying that that was a ruling by the Supreme Court. So I just want to clarify that one thing just so that making sure to
speak. Right. Oh, yeah, that would be, because I know the case in detail. I was horrified. I put it in the foreword to Walling's last book, you know, citing Busowitz versus Wyeth, and that was in 2011, it absolutely horrified me, and that was just in the concluding remarks of the case. That was actually, when you look at it, it was a concluding remarks, but it wouldn't be part of the ruling. So and that's you would you weren't probably in the thick of it like I have been for the last 30 years. So I mean, when there's something like that happens, I mean, I am combing through it, and all of us, some of us are absolutely fanatical on this issue. But that's pretty minor, actually, on a level, But I would correct that. Mm-hmm. But let's go into what are some of your basic facts, that you use to help educate people, that you feel are largely uninformed about vaccine risks.
Yeah, I forget. Was there a second part to your first question regarding the online course that I forgot to answer?
You said, how long is it? And thank then... you. Yeah. Sorry about that. Yeah. I did.
I forgot what the second part of that question was, though.
Oh, the second part of the question is, it was the time factor, and then it was how many people? How many people do you think have taken it?
Yeah. So, there's been over 5,000 students who have enrolled in the course so far, and it's been out for less than a year.
Wow, that's incredible. And do you think you're reaching the choir or people that just don't know?
It's a good question. I have it on two separate platforms. So it's on udemy.com, which didn't have any vaccine-related course. So I think there's probably a mix of people. Yeah, I think some people who maybe were interested in learning more, and then maybe some people who already kind of had a good idea and then just wanted to check out the course or kind of further their research and understanding on those issues. So my guess is that there's some of both.
Yeah, I posted in the immunizewisely.chatandgo.com chat room your excellent presentation that I actually watched for the first time today. Sorry about that, but it was really good. I thought it was absolutely excellent. So I hope other people watch it. But you gave that presentation locally at a library, and I think that was pretty impressive. How did that go, and how many people showed up?
Oh, is this the presentation on pharmaceutical fraud, a case study in corporate malfeasance?
Uh-huh.
Yeah, that we had around, I think it was around 40 people who showed up to that presentation in person. And then I made a video of that and edited the video, and I uploaded that to both Facebook and YouTube, and that has over 30,000 combined views over those two platforms.
Wow, that's fantastic. You're just doing an incredible job. So you're listening to Luke Yamaguchi, my guest on Immunize Wisely, and we have a break coming up.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Don't regret growing old. It's a privilege denied to many. Heart disease is taking our youth from us. Young people in their 30s, 40s, 50s, and beyond are dying needlessly. One of the hardest messages I've ever had to deliver is to convince people that something natural like Extendivite should be taken as a preventative measure. I'm sure you heard, an ounce of prevention is worth a pound of cure. Extendivite is that ounce. Take Extendivite for 1 year and see what your doctor has to say and how much better you feel. Herbs take time to address the problem. It took years of life to have a problem. Give Extendivite 1 year to fix the problem. Don't wait until it's too late. Call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com or visit us on Amazon.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
Tired of being lied to by mass media? It's growing more and more apparent today that news is received less and less through standard media outlets, even with a growing audience every day. RBN is beginning to direct more efforts into social media. Social media and the use of the internet is fast becoming the primary source of people for news, regardless of demographic. RBN has set out to provide some of the best news on the internet through republicbroadcasting.org and also has begun to use the tools to our advantage by way of social media. Republic Broadcasting is now operating a Facebook page to function as yet another avenue to have our collective voice reach new audiences across not only America, but across the globe as well. The Facebook page features not only news, but also an RBN player to listen to our broadcast. Get involved by visiting facebook.com/republicbroadcasting and liking our page and share it with your friends and family, because you can handle the truth.
So are you tired of being tired? Well, then it's time to get the tea. Hey, it's Lisa here to tell you about this all-natural, all-organic tea I've been drinking that has had great results for over 20 years. It's called Life Change Tea, and it's specially formulated to help detoxify and cleanse your kidneys, liver, colon, and blood all at once. The colon is one of the most ignored organs in the human body. The faster that waste is eliminated from the body, the less time that waste sits in our intestines, spreading toxins to our bloodstream. This tea helps cleanse chemicals caused by outside intruders from our entire digestive system, and get this, weight loss can be a side effect. And with continued use of the tea, you can experience clearer, healthier, younger looking skin, increased energy, and a happier outlook on life. So if you're tired of being tired, get the Life Change Tea at getthetea.com. That's getthetea.com, and like me, you'll be glad you did.
Immunize Wisely with my guest, Luke Yamaguchi at the darksidevaccines.com. And, yep, he's really making an impact, as you heard from the stats that he's getting on this. I mean, he's poured his heart and soul into this for a year and really, worked on figuring out how to wake people up on this issue. And I'm really proud of you, Luke. But what are some of the basic facts that you use to help educate people that are largely uninformed about vaccine risk? So those 51% out there,
Yeah, the three things that I always like to start with that I think are absolutely foundational for people to better understand this issue, and that really have nothing to do with whether vaccines are good or bad per se. And just to be honest, like personally, I actually don't think that vaccines are inherently good or bad. I think it depends on who manufactured that vaccine, how is that vaccine manufactured, what are the ingredients used in the manufacture of that vaccines that will then go on to determine safety and efficacy. But these three points that I want to make right now are unrelated to that issue of like whether vaccines are so-called good or bad. And the first thing that actually blew my mind when I started doing my research last year over the summer was that I found out that Congress passed a law in 1986 called the National Childhood Vaccine Injury Act. And that shielded vaccine manufacturers from liability for injuries and death caused by vaccines. In other words, you actually can't sue a vaccine manufacturer if a vaccine injures or kills you or your child. In almost the vast majority of instances, there's rare exceptions to that, like the shingles vaccine is an exception because it's not on the childhood schedule. But if the CDC puts a vaccine on the childhood recommended schedule, then you can't sue the vaccine manufacturer for injuries and death caused by that product. And that is a huge, huge problem that people really need to understand. So that's the first thing that I like to tell people. The second thing that I want people to understand is that since the 1980s, there's been a huge increase in the number of vaccines that are given or recommended to our children. We went from about 24 doses of vaccines recommended to children in the 1980s, and today we have about 72 doses of vaccines that are being recommended to American children starting on day one of life up to 18 years of age. So we've seen this tripling in the number of vaccine doses that are given to children since, you know, this law passed and vaccine manufacturers were no longer liable for damages caused by this pharmaceutical product. That's important for people to understand as well. And then the third thing that I really want people to know that's just basic and foundational is that over $4 billion of U.S. taxpayer money has gone out to compensate people who have been injured and killed by vaccines. And so it's not the vaccine manufacturers who are paying to compensate people who've been injured by that pharmaceutical product. It's taxpayers who are paying to compensate for people who are injured or damaged by vaccines. And so, you know, I mentioned that from a legal standpoint, vaccines are considered unavoidably unsafe products, and yet they're marketed to the public as being, quote, safe and effective. And so, and then now we have legislation that's trying to mandate vaccines for children. And I wonder, like, how is it okay for the government to mandate a pharmaceutical product that is deemed to be, quote, unavoidably unsafe? And so those are the three kind of foundational basic concepts that I like people to understand. And then if I can go further, there's another two concepts that I talk about, but I'll pause for a minute. And
Well, I just wanted to mention that the tax you're talking about is on the vaccine themselves. I mean, each vaccine has an added tax.
Correct.
Yeah, exactly.
75 cents. I think it's 75 cents per dose. Yeah.
Right. And when you're looking at the amount of money being paid out through the Vaccine Injury Compensation Program, it's not sustainable because so that they don't want people to really be aware of injuries. They've narrowed the definition. You have to react within, I think it's 48 hours, is it? I mean, it changed. It used to be 72 hours. You know, I forget, Luke. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's changed since the act was first passed. You know, the definition of what qualifies as an injury as well as the time frame. And as you know, many of these injuries occur sometimes even a week after the vaccine. So,
right. In any case, you know, it is very difficult to collect compensation through this Vaccine Injury Compensation Program, which is colloquially referred to as, quote, vaccine court. It's important for people to understand that this is not a court of law. There's no judge. There's no jury. There's no discovery. Instead, you have a special master. It's basically a federal program. But it's become so very, very difficult to receive compensation through this program. It was originally intended to give fair and quick compensation to people who had been injured or killed by vaccines. And since then, it's morphed into something completely antithetical to its original intentions. And so that's very unfortunate. People should be aware of it. It's almost like a secret court because a lot of people don't even know it exists. And so those are all issues that are problematic that people should be aware of. And then if I can move on, can I speak about two other things that I think are important for people to understand regarding vaccine policy? Can I go ahead with that?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Absolutely. Because this is really important foundational points for people to understand.
Right. So these next two things that I'll talk about, one is related to pre-marketing safety studies. It's very important for people to understand that when vaccines go through their pre-marketing safety studies, those clinical trials, in almost all instances, never use an inert placebo. So if you're giving an injection, a pharmaceutical injection, the inert placebo would be a saline injection. It's a saltwater solution. It's not thought to have any kind of significant biological effect on the body. That's your control group. Then you give your other group the vaccine, and then you compare health outcomes. That's how you determine safety. And this is standard protocol for pharmaceutical drugs. But vaccines are not classified as pharmaceutical drugs. They're classified as biologics, and they don't have to go through the same rigorous safety testing that's required for pharmaceutical drugs. That's hugely problematic. That means that we actually have no idea as to the true safety profile of these vaccines. And so what vaccine manufacturers do, instead of using an inert saline placebo, the so-called quote-unquote placebo they're using is a spiked placebo. It's either another vaccine or it's the aluminum adjuvant in the that's used in vaccines. Well, aluminum is a known neurotoxin, and it has no physiological benefit to the human body. It can only cause harm. That's not an inert placebo. So people need to understand that the way that these safety studies are designed, the pre-marketing clinical trials, is super problematic. It's not scientific. That's one thing. The second thing people need to understand is we say, okay, well, maybe the pre-marketing safety studies are deficient in some way, but what about the post-marketing surveillance? And that's equally problematic. And that's because it's estimated that less than 1% of all vaccine adverse events related to vaccines are reported to the Vaccine Adverse Event Reporting System, which is abbreviated as VAERS. It's a passive surveillance system that's capturing, by some estimates, again, less than 1% of all vaccine adverse events. That means that we have that. What that means is actually it makes it impossible to do an accurate risk-benefit calculation with any degree of confidence. Because on the one hand, we know the purported benefits of vaccines, how it's reduced the incidence of infectious disease, or how it appears to have reduced the incidence of infectious disease, and how the number of deaths have gone down along with that. But when we look and try and find data on the number of people who've been injured or killed by vaccines, we only have a system that's capturing 1% of that total. So we have totally no way of making a risk-benefit calculation with any degree of confidence. And that should be, everyone should say, that is super problematic. We can definitely do better than that. We have technology. We can automate VAERS. We can give it electronic support. Mm-hmm. We can certainly capture more than 1% of adverse events. We should be able to capture, you know, like 95%. So these are the kinds of things that I want people to know about. It doesn't have anything to do with whether vaccines are good or bad. It has to do with the way the vaccine program is set up and vaccine policy. And these are things that we should all be advocating for so we can have safer, more robust systems, both pre-marketing as well as post-marketing, and just compensation when a vaccine injury does occur for people.
Yeah, and I totally agree with everything you're saying. There's been so many reports from various emergency rooms around the country. There was this one nurse that was adamant about reporting the injuries because when children hit the emergency room and it's not like a bone fracture or anything like that, it's invariably a vaccine reaction. It's very, very typical. So we have all these children that have been to these emergency rooms and without, you know, a sprained ankle or that kind of thing. And this one nurse, she says she's worked at, you know, a couple dozen different places. She likes to travel. And she says they were never trained to ever report an injury. They're not on the clock to do that. And she found that nobody even knew how to file with the Vaccine Adverse Event Reporting System. So when you say it's like, you know, 1%, I mean, you know, I talk about that too because that's what the common thing is. And on our forum, we were talking about where they get this figure that it's less than 1%. We think it's actually less than 1 in 1,000 because I've talked to many parents and they acknowledge that their children are vaccine injured and they realize too late to file with a vaccine injury compensation program. And if they did, a report was never filed with VAERS. I have yet to find a parent of a vaccine injured child who actually reported the injury to VAERS or the doctor reported the injury. I mean, I'm still looking, seriously. Yeah. I mean, I actually helped a nurse file with VAERS after she had a DT, a diphtheria tetanus, for her job and had a pretty bad reaction because she was on a round of antibiotics for a tooth infection, you know, so that, you know, it led her to be much more vulnerable to an injury. But, you know, that's the my only experience was helping this woman, and it wasn't like the doctor was going to file. I mean, people literally need to take it upon themselves to file because most doctors will not file.
Yes. Yeah, and, you know, there was a study that was done out of Canada, and it saw that I think it was like 1 in 168 children ended up in the hospital or emergency room after their 12-month so-called well baby visit. And so that's a lot. That's a lot of people, you know, going into the hospital emergency room after getting a bunch of vaccines all at once. And people just, we need to, one, be aware of the issue, and two, demand that this is unacceptable. We can't have a post-marketing surveillance system that captures less than 1% of vaccine adverse events. The system needs to be automated. It needs to be given electronic support because we all know, like, doctors are so busy, they have to take time out of their workflow in order to file this report. And you know, they barely have enough time. They have, like, what, maybe 6 minutes to see a patient or something crazy like that. So I think it's all these things that we're talking about are reasons why the public is losing confidence in our vaccine program. And so then the response by our government to that loss of confidence seems to be the censorship of any and all criticism of these shortcomings that we've just talked about, along with legislation to mandate vaccines against the free will of the people. So in other words, the government's solution seems to be the use of coercion to force people to take their medicine. But, you know, I think we all know intuitively that good medicine doesn't need to be forced down people's throats or forcibly injected into our children's bodies. And so I think that it's important that we're able to actually have these conversations rationally, you know, without name-calling and all this, you know, derogatory anti-vax label being thrown onto people. It's totally pejorative. And so it's very, very important that we address these issues, talk about them rationally. And then this censorship is such an un-American thing. Like, when in the world has censorship been okay in the United States? Like, how can anyone be okay with that? That should never be okay. You know, we have a First Amendment right to freedom of speech. So all of these things are huge issues in our time and in our society that, yeah, we all have to come together and work to kind of undo this insanity that we're seeing in our world right now.
I agree. It is actually insane. But, you know, I do want to, I mean, these are just, you know, basics, things that we're dealing with in our movement. You know, we're being more and more horrified. The more we wake up people, the more they, you know, work with police state tactics. And then, you know, people realize, wow, we don't have a constitution. We are literally living in a police state. I mean, what's going on in New York, what's going on with CPS, it's quite frightening. And people don't want to even admit that they don't vaccinate their children. I mean, it's like a big secret.
Right.
So although you can tell, I mean, anyone that's been in this movement a while, you can pretty much spot a vaccinated child versus an unvaccinated child, especially a baby, you know, because babies establish very great eye contact. They're very aware, very conscious. They are paying attention, following every move. You vaccinate that baby, and they're in La La Land. They're off in space. They don't establish good eye contact. I mean, it's pretty immediate. But anyway, I found out about all the stuff that you had been researching when you were doing the stats on the measles, you know, MMR versus the disease, you know, the risk-benefit calculation. And, you know, you first posted on Medium.com. Do you want to go ahead and talk about that some?
Yeah, the title of that article was To Vaccinate or Not to Vaccinate. And I was basically just trying to do something very simple, just use math to determine whether it made sense, whether the benefits of the MMR vaccine outweighed the risks. And I became frustrated because, again, as I said, we only have, you know, VAERS only captures less than 1% of the total number of vaccine adverse events. So we don't know how many people are being injured or killed by the MMR vaccine. And it's not just me saying that we can't make this calculation. I mean, the Physicians for Informed Consent have also said that the data is inadequate. And even the prestigious Cochrane organization has said that the studies, I can actually give you a quote here. The design and reporting of safety outcomes in MMR vaccine studies, both pre- and post-marketing, are largely inadequate. That's straight from the mouth of the prestigious Cochrane Organization, which is a global independent network of doctors and scientists and experts who do research and look at meta-analyses. They may have recently actually been a little bit compromised by pharmaceutical interests, which is very concerning. Yes. But at the time of this study, they were very respected, and you know, everyone is like, they're independent and they're highly respected. And that's what they're saying. So we just can't make an accurate risk-benefit calculation. That should be frustrating to everyone, right? We should be able to make that calculation with confidence. We should have that accurate data at our fingertips, and we don't. And that's problematic. And I could go on and talk more about the actual risks of the measles virus before the vaccine even came onto the scene. And that is also very interesting, because we think of these, you know, in the media with all the hysteria and hype and fear-mongering that we've seen earlier this year about the measles, how it's like the black plague of death, or it's being compared to like smallpox or Ebola, is so completely out of touch with reality. We went from a Brady Bunch. Well, we've got a commercial break coming up, so maybe when we come back, I can talk more about that.
That sounds great. Thank you, Luke. Mm-hmm. You're listening to Immunize Wisely with my guest, Luke Yamaguchi.
It's happening, ladies and gentlemen. We here at RBN are working with Front Sight Firearms Training Institute to bring our audience the best in combat, tactical, and defensive firearms training. Whether you're a private citizen who is new to firearms, or you have a concealed weapon permit, and want a level of training that surpasses what you've received from your local gun range, Front Sight provides priceless education and skills taught by seasoned law enforcement, military, and private citizen instructors to levels that far exceed law enforcement and military standard. With nearly a million responsible citizens trained from every town, city, and state from across the United States, Front Sight has bolstered the Patriot movement to a whole new level. Contact Dan Sutterfield by phone at 573-762-2356 or 573-465-2356, or shoot him an email at domedan, D-O-M-E-D-A-N, at hotmail.com. This is a limited time opportunity. Don't miss it.
How healthy are your arteries? Deteriorating circulation has a number of early warning signs. High cholesterol, high blood pressure, fingers and or toes often go cold, arms and or legs often go to sleep, sharp diagonal crease in the earlobe, short walks cause cramping or pains in legs, memory is not as good as it used to be, ankles swell late in the day, chest pain after physical exercise or emotional stress. If you experience even one of these symptoms, your circulatory system is crying out for attention. Extendivite is a natural solution to help improve your overall health. Extendivite is not your average heart tonic. To order, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com or find us on Amazon.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
Without the right accessories, any guy can be off the mark. Whether you've invested thousands in your arsenal or you own a single trusted firearm, a visit to AROutfitting.com is in order. It's one of the finest online selections of tactical optics and AR parts and add-ons, like EOTech, quick target acquisition with no peripheral loss. Browse the full range of Nikon scopes and binoculars. AROutfitting.com can illuminate your world with Streamlight gun-mounted lights from keychain to large handhelds up to 1,100 lumens. Find some stability with Battenfield tactical bipods. AirOutfitting.com has CMMG gun parts, barrels, assemblies, handguards, part kits, and more. Plus Magful clips and magazines. I know I've got you excited, so take a breath. Head to AirOutfitting.com. The site's super easy to navigate and features a ton of technical info, including links to manuals. We also welcome vendor and manufacturer inquiries. Remember, if you don't see it, we can get it at AirOutfitting.com.
Welcome back to Immunize Wisely. I want to just kind of close out this first hour with some of the pharmaceutical fraud that Luke has discovered. And, you know, many people have their minds focused on all these measles outbreaks and, you know, how now they're mandating shots and the MMR shot in particular in Washington and in California and all of this, you know, in New York and, you know, running around with CPS to make sure that, you know, you have your vaccine. And I mean, it's really quite crazy. So certainly, you know, why do we have to have the MMR? I mean, we understand that Merck likes to, you know, recoup any losses in profit, but they certainly made a lot of money on these last measles alleged epidemics. And then, you know, and then the question following that, you know, I mean, I think they made, oh, what was it, you know, $40 million on, you know, all these people that wouldn't have been vaccinated that were. I'm pretty sure that was the figure. You may have a more accurate one. That was just from memory. But yeah. And then they have, why don't they have a single measles dose, you know, because the MMR vaccine has been in a subject of lawsuit. So why don't you just talk about that a bit?
Yeah, you know, it's a perfectly valid question. If this was really about vaccine uptake and not about profits, then why wouldn't Merck create a single measles vaccine separate from the MMR, so that anyone who's concerned about the safety or risk profile of bundling three vaccines into one, they can say, well, here's an option for you. You can just get the single measles vaccine, and then more people would be open to getting that vaccine that would increase vaccine uptake. Like, if this is really about the measles, right, why wouldn't Merck offer that option to people, to consumers? And not only that, you know, we're looking at legislation to mandate vaccines. If we're really concerned about measles, why are we doing blanket mandates for all these different so-called vaccine preventable infectious diseases? Why aren't we just saying, look, mm-hmm. you need to have your measles vaccine in order to attend school? So clearly there seems to be something else going on, and it isn't just about the measles, or maybe it's not really even about the measles at all. As you said, Merck did have a very good quarter after that huge measles outbreak and all the hysteria and fear-mongering and scaremongering in the news. And in my talk, Pharmaceutical Fraud, a Case Study in Corporate Malfeasance, it's a 17-minute presentation that I gave, I focus on, in the interest of time, I focus on Merck. And Merck, what people should know, a few things about Merck, they're one of the top five pharmaceutical companies in the world. They are the number one vaccine manufacturer in the United States. They're the number two vaccine manufacturer in the world. They were the makers of Vioxx, a painkiller that basically was found to double the risk of heart attack and stroke after being on the market for about 5 years. And Merck probably either knew or should have known that it could increase the risk of heart attack and stroke, but they didn't evaluate the cardiovascular risk in their new drug application to the FDA. And then that later came out 5 years later, and they settled all those lawsuits for about $4.85 billion. It's estimated that about 38 to maybe 60,000 people died from Vioxx, and that's a little bit of a conservative estimate. And what people need to know now is that Merck is being sued for three different vaccines that they manufacture: Zostavax, which is their live shingles vaccine, MMR, and Gardasil, the HPV vaccine. Maybe we can talk about that more in the second hour.
Yep, absolutely. So we're closing out the first hour. You're listening to Luke Yamaguchi as my guest, and please stay tuned after the break.
The reviews for Extendivite are amazing. Here are some from Amazon. By Christine, great for heart palpitations. By Anne, before I started using this product, every afternoon my ankles and my hands would be swollen. That doesn't happen anymore. So if that part of their advertising is true, I have to assume that the rest of it is also. Not to mention that when I had my yearly blood test, only a few weeks after beginning to use this product, my cholesterol had dropped over 30 points. I'm going to continue to take it. By Croc, I love this product. It really works. By Brad, works great. Thank you. Tell us your story. Get your Extendivite today.
To order, call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822. Or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Because you can handle the truth.